Be consistent. The best way to do that is by keeping it simple. You do not have to post in 12 different places. So post one really good piece of content a week if that's all you can legitimately do. Keep it simple.
Thank you for tuning in to Hacks and Hobbies with your host, Junaid. We're visited by our amazing guests coming from all walks of life. Want to learn their story, their struggles, and their journey on how they got to where they are today. So stick around.
In this episode, we dive deep into the entrepreneurial journey of our guest, Teresa Edmond. From discovering her passion for words while editing dissertations to becoming a best-selling ghostwriter, Teresa's journey is filled with valuable insights. We discuss the importance of understanding your audience and share tips on conquering content challenges. Teresa also talks about her passion project, Boss Responses, a podcast that helps freelancers and small business owners navigate client relationships and communication. Tune in for a dose of inspiration and practical advice. Teresa, thank you so much for coming on to the podcast.
Thank you for having me here. I'm really looking forward to it.
Fantastic. One request that I would ask you is to look at the camera lens and then we'll have some really nice reels out of that.
Okay.
Because I know you're going to have some really fun things to talk about.
All right, let's do it.
Welcome back to another episode here on Hacks and Hobbies. Today, we get to speak with my good friend, Teresa Edmond. Teresa, thanks so much for coming out to the podcast.
Thank you for having me. I'm really looking forward to this.
I love podcasting, and I know that you are a podcast host too. What's beautiful about it is that we get to have conversations with guests like us all right. the freaking time, and we're able to go deeper into what we love to do and where we come from. Let's start at the top. Let's take a walk down memory lane. Rediscover your origin story, because I'm sure the journey was long and it's something that sticks with us, right? You know, that one journey that we took, it connects us with the people that are around us. And we're like, oh my God, I'm going through that same struggle right now. Can you please talk to me and figure out how you went past that? So share with the audience here how you got started into where you are today.
I had one of those typical, a whole bunch of different jobs that didn't make sense. And they were jobs. So not a career path, not anything fun. It was just jobs. And I enjoyed them. I learned something great from each of them, even if it was how not to be a boss. Mm. And as I'm going forward with those jobs, I started to decide that maybe I wanted to go into entrepreneurship like my parents had. It just seemed a better fit for me, but I wasn't sure how to make that jump. And then when I was working at a theological seminary, I started editing dissertations, and that became a side hustle. And as I went, I rediscovered my love for words and really fell into that. So I started doing more editing, more writing, took that out into a business of my own, almost immediately tripled my income, blew me away. And I was just absolutely pleased, had a lot of fun with it. And my business has just grown from there. Almost every service I've started offering, such as content strategy, when it came along and ghostwriting, it was because a client asked me, hey, do you do this thing? And I'm like, sure, I do. Even if I hadn't before, I do now. And I really enjoy what I do. So I get to play with words every day. I get to help people take their message and share it with the world in a way that their audience really understands.
That's so important. And as I'm teaching marketing and entrepreneurship to my high school students, we talk about the ideal customer all the time. Right. Because if you're messaging, if you're not talking in the language that they understand, you can say goodbye to that dream of being an entrepreneur. Because understanding those audiences, understanding your customer and offering them exactly that is what makes really possible, like the growth of your company. Yes. And that's exactly what you did.
Yeah. Yeah. I was able to connect with my ideal clients. And from that, I learned more about how to do that for clients. When I started doing strategy, I'm always amazed that I've worked with a couple of startups. I work mostly with established businesses and small businesses, but I found that startups never really have a plan for their content. And that blows my mind. They also make major assumptions about their audience. And those assumptions, I believe, to the very heart of my being, is why so many startups fail. They think they know what their audience wants to hear, and they share what they want to share with their audience, but they're not actually sharing what their audience needs to hear. That's a huge difference, and it's a make or break situation.
Man, that's so true. And you're right. There's hundreds of new startups forming literally every single day.
Yeah.
It's because the startup founder has an itch to scratch, or they have a problem that they're trying to solve. Yeah. And sometimes those problems are other people want to solve them also. And sometimes it's just because they want something, and this has nothing to do with trying to solve other people's problems.
Those fail really quickly.
Absolutely. So now you're also a best-selling ghostwriter, and that's probably because you spent a ton of time writing those dissertation papers.
Yeah, all of that editing, it really helped me clarify a message. So I was able to go from this broad concept and narrow it down to the best of the work while keeping the message. And I carried that over into my ghostwriting, absolutely. That and the ability to hear other people's voices in my head. I'm not sure if that's a really good thing or not, but I have the ability to do it, and I love doing it. And I really like when I'm talking to people who are starting out as ghostwriters, or people ask me, why do you do this? You don't get any credit. And I'm like, it's not about me. When I'm doing ghostwriting, I'm a tool. I'm just like a computer or a typewriter. Lost my word there for a second. I'm a tool that the person is using to tell their story. So all I do is bring it to life. It's still their story. It's still their message to the people. I just help make sure that it makes sense.
And I love that your journey of interweaving your passion into the different things that you love to do, and then making that into a business. That's always the dream, right? That's always the dream. Right. And you've made that possible. What's really interesting is you're actually bringing these ghostwriting examples, and you've created a podcast around this as well called Boss Responses.
Right. Boss Responses is my passion project. So I don't know if it'll ever make money. It honestly doesn't matter to me if it does. I love it. And it's about helping other freelancers, small business owners who are dealing with clients and have problems. So they're not communicating. The clients are asking difficult questions and they have no idea how to answer them, and it throws them. Or they're letting their clients run their business. Mm. And I've been in business a long time now, and I've seen all of this. I've dealt with all of this. And about 5 years ago, freelancers really started asking me those questions. So if a client questions your rates, what do you say? Or I have this client that's wanting to pay me late, or I'm having problems getting payment. And it's not all about money. Sometimes it's scope creep, fun things like that. And I started telling them, this is what I would say. So I can't tell you how to deal with your client, but this is what I would say. And that turned into a little thing where people would ask me for scripting and I would give them to them. I don't know if it's an enviable ability to deal with difficult people, but I can do it. And then they started asking me to write a book. So I've started my book, and it's called Who's the Boss? And it's about taking control of your own business. Mm. And then from that came Boss Responses, because as I'm writing the book, my thought every time I sat down to write is, this is only one perspective. This is how I do it. And there are 1,000 different ways to run a business. And I really wanted to portray those. So all of my guest hosts, when my guest hosts come on, then we go through it together. So we'll answer the questions from the listeners together. And then on the final day of their week-long journey with me, we actually feature them and how they manage their clients and run their business. So people get to learn that there are a lot of ways to do this. There is no one right way, but you do have to be the boss of your business.
Yeah. You do have to be the boss of your business, because if you don't have a plan, guess what? Somebody else is going to have a plan for you. and you might not like it. And that's why we create. The cool part of entrepreneurship is that you get to create the work that you want to do.
Right.
Because if you wanted somebody else to tell you what to do, you might as well go work for somebody.
And isn't that the reason we all started this? Mm-hmm. If you start your own business or you start freelancing or consulting, then you're doing it because you don't want to work for other people anymore. You want to, and I partner with my clients. So I'm mm-hmm. still working with them, but I'm not yeah. working for them. I'm working for myself. I'm not saying I'm the best boss, but I have fun with it.
Man, I love that, Teresa. So as you grew through this passion, went through the different phases of your entrepreneurial journey, how are you helping and working with content professionals or small businesses through your podcast? But if you say, let's say you're consulting, what are some of the clients that you're working with and how deep do you go with them?
I've worked on content strategy, especially with everyone from the up and coming career coach or life coach who wants to build out a business where they're helping more than just the people they can help one-on-one, or all the way up to Fortune 500 companies who are really wanting to focus in on a specific strategic element of their content. And I've really enjoyed all of that. And I've actually, in the last year, pivoted my business a little bit because I was starting to get a lot of clients who would say, I've paid for a strategy and it's not working. And when I would go in and look, it actually wasn't a strategy. Mm-hmm. It was a content plan that someone had created for them and called a strategy, which that doesn't work without all of the research behind
right.
it, especially that audience research. So I kind of got upset about it. And then I'm like, I can either just fight with this constantly, or I can help people who really want to do content strategy mm-hmm. learn how to do it correctly. So I've transitioned now to where I'm not only helping train other new writers and content pros to become strategists, but I'm teaching small businesses who normally couldn't afford to hire a strategist how to do their own strategy. And that's something I'm in the process of launching right now. And it's much more fulfilling than I ever dreamed it would be. I was just, like you said, trying to solve a problem for myself yeah. and for others. And in the process, I've discovered that I love working with these people. And I love watching them get excited about content strategy instead of dreading doing the content like a lot of them do.
Yeah, I think that's there's a huge difference between creating the content, but then also figuring out a strategy. Once you have that strategy down, then it's so much easier to create the content because now you have a focus, you have a path. It's almost like when you jump in a car and you start driving, like, where am I going? Where are we going? Where are we going? What's for lunch? But as soon as you decide, hey, we're having Baja Fresh for lunch or whatever, or you're right. going to, what else is there to try to think? In-N-Out Burger, we're going In-N-Out Burger. That was actually a fun story. When I was working with my colleagues back in Irvine, every single day, what's for lunch? What's for lunch? And we even thought of, we should make an app that would have selection of all the people that are in the room. And it would like automatically tell us, hey, this is for lunch today. But right. then we can also, so it became a game, like who's picking about lunch. And then the default was always, if we can't figure out what for lunch in 5 minutes, we're all going to In-N-Out. Because we
so
all
how many it. Times did you go to In-N-Out?
I don't know. A lot of times.
picking places to eat is always the hardest thing.
Mm-hmm.
It really is. We were talking earlier about you're teaching your students how to do a business plan.
Yeah.
And I think when it comes to content strategy and businesses, that the fact that they know they need to do a business plan
mm-hmm.
and maybe even a marketing plan, but they don't know that they need a content strategy is baffling to me. It's like that picking where you're going to eat. You need to do content, what needs to be out there. You're not sure what to do though. And there are all of these options, mm-hmm. huge menu of content. And I think without a strategy, I always say it's like sowing out a whole handful of wildflowers and expecting a rose garden.
You're using the wrong flower.
You do not have a plan. You're not going to get what you want.
Yeah.
So it's an interesting thing. And I really wish that content strategy was more a solid part of business planning.
Mm.
I think it would save a lot of people a lot of work.
Would a content strategy fall into the business plan space, or would it fall into the marketing plan? of the things?
When I'm doing a content strategy, it does fall into the major marketing plan, or at least it coordinates with it.
Yeah.
But one of the most important, I have five foundational elements. I tell everyone this needs to be in your content strategy for it to work. And one of those is your business goals. So business goals and content go hand in hand, because if your content's not helping you meet your business goals, then what's the point? It's great if it's amusing your audience or educating your audience, but it also needs to be helping you meet your business goals. So I think that it all goes together. Mm. And for smaller businesses who are depending on content to bring them clients instead of paid marketing, it's even more important. And I think it's more important than a marketing plan at that point. And then it can grow into a full-fledged marketing plan in the future.
Mm. So content strategy could be something that you start with, because that's going to start putting money in your pocket, and then you can grow it to make it a marketing plan, because you might not have a marketing person in your company. You're starting out. You might have a few interns here and there. And that's something that I always focus on too, right? You can do everything, but it's better to bring in the experts, because they're going to enable you to focus on the vision part of why you even created a company. Yep. And they're able to execute on all of the ideas that you have.
It's the truth. And you get more bang for your buck. So as a business person, I can do my own accounting or I can do my own design, but it takes me 3 hours what it would take a professional 15 minutes to do.
Mm-hmm.
It's a waste of time and effort. And you honestly make back the money sooner rather than later. So especially on content, because content is such a long game, if you don't start out right, it takes forever to shift the sales so that you're going in the right direction.
Man, I love that so much. Thank you so much, Teresa, for sharing. So let's go deeper into a content strategy. You mentioned five things that you focus on. What are the most important things of the five that somebody should start thinking about?
The most important is the audience. So the five overall are incorporating business and content goals, incorporating audience. So it's, like I said before, it's not what you want to tell your audience.
Right.
It's not telling your audience about your product.
Mm-mm.
It's telling them the problems you solve and how you solve them. And that should be the basis of your communication. Then keeping track of your content and analyzing it on a regular basis to make sure it is doing what you want it to do. Looking at what your competitors are doing. So not necessarily to mimic them, but you need to know if there are gaps in the market. Are there things they're not talking about that are just quite obvious to you?
Yeah.
That's huge. That's a really good way to get ahead. It gives you that competitive advantage. And also, what are they doing that really is working? So if you're in a business, and I see this all the time, if you're in a business and you're like, I'm going to talk to my people on Facebook because that's where I am, but all of your competitors know nobody's on Facebook. They're all on LinkedIn. If there's a reason that they're not on a specific channel, if they're not doing a YouTube channel or whatever, look and see what it is. Mm-hmm. Don't assume that you know that. And then, of course, the last foundational element is SEO. And I like to say there are a lot of people out there who believe SEO is content strategy, and that's not true at all. SEO supports your content strategy. It helps you make sure that all of the other parts make sense. And then it helps you keep track of it. But it's a supporting element. It's not a driving element.
It is basically a passenger in the car of marketing. It can't really drive until you put in a driver. And the driver's seat, and the content strategy looks like it's the driver of the marketing car.
Yes, it is.
We're back to the car analogy.
SEO is the co-pilot, but they have to have a map.
But
the audience is that backseat driver that really wants you to get to the right place. So sticking with the analogy.
It's
so
almost like you order an Uber. Like, I want to get this place. And then so the driver knows where they want to go. And then there's the audience sitting in the backseat. Ooh, I like it.
Yeah. And that goes right on into it. Mm-hmm. The audience, you don't matter in the scheme of things.
No, you're just a
your
driver.
Product doesn't even matter in the scheme of things. Mm-mm. It's just a tool to solve that person's problem. And if a lot of businesses, this is really hard. It's really hard for businesses to do
this. Absolutely.
Because you get into it. This is your baby. This is your thing. You're doing this thing. You're really proud of it. But sometimes you just need to step back and say, this isn't all about me. This is about my audience and how I can serve them. And if you take that attitude of humility, it will skyrocket your business. You can have an absolute wonderful thing, but you don't sell an Apple Watch by saying it tells time. You just don't. You talk about all the other problems it solves, and they continually do that as their marketing evolves, as their product evolves. It's evolving to solve a problem. It's not evolving because it can. So,
yeah, you're absolutely right. And then there's different strategies that they employ themselves to introduce the Apple Watch to the market, right? They're like, oh, we're doing this event. Come check out the Apple Watch. People are trying them on. They have different levels and different people promoting it. There's a whole bunch.
That's so crazy. That touching the product, that's what content does for people, is it gives them that tangible way to look at the product and say, oh, no, this really does work for me. Or I didn't even ever know I needed that. It's that special dog lead that allows you to really control an unruly dog. And all of your life, you fought with a regular lead and didn't know that lead exists. It's so you're not selling the lead. You're selling a walk with your dog that you enjoy because they're not pulling every minute. And that's shift in perspective makes all of the difference.
I think it's
the difference between product success and failure.
Tell me this. How would you differentiate between marketing strategy and content strategy?
Marketing strategy is your overall marketing strategy for the company. That includes paid advertising, paid social, and then also all of the organic stuff. Mm. It also includes a lot of the more specific things like events and demand generation. So the things that you do to really reach out to people, especially if you're in B2B or one of those ranges, then you're going to have more events that you're going to have to go to. You're going to be doing a lot more direct selling, but you still need the content to back all of that up and prove your point. So content, a lot of companies will start out with product marketing and then they move into content marketing. Mm. And my view is you should always be doing content from the very beginning because it's how you communicate with your people. And if you're only talking about your product, we go back to that problem again.
Exactly.
So it's a sticky situation.
It is a sticky situation.
Focus on the audience and really focus on the content. So content should be at the core of your marketing strategy, and you can build a marketing strategy around content. Then when you have paid advertising, you have content or a landing page to send them to. Or you have gated content. So if you have a white paper or a free downloadable to get them on your newsletter, so that then you can do drip campaigns and really help them get to know you in a more personalized way. But all of that's content. So anything that's not paid is content, essentially.
Teresa, thank you so much. This has been very revealing because now I've been using the internet for the past 30 plus years, right? I'm not sure how long you've been using it, but they talked since the beginning. They've been talking about content is king. And then the whole thing shifted right in the middle as social media stepped in.
Right. Which people is still content.
It's still content, but it was one-way content. But now it's user-generated content, UGC. Yes. And now they're bringing back the more content of blogs and whatnot. Give us some of the examples of the different type of content that our audience can create for their businesses.
Today, I think every business should be focusing on video. Video is just incredibly important. It's a way to get face-to-face with people. Mm-hmm. Even if it's not your face, you can hire someone else to be your face.
Yeah.
Video, social media, if and only if your people live on social media. But even still, there are ways to get product out there on social media. And then you have your website content, which is your blog. You have white papers, which are really important for B2B. They show that final sale, all of the benefits if you're selling something that's really high dollar, because you have to know those benefits to move on. Case studies, incredibly important. I think every business should be doing case studies because they show this client or customer used this product. It did this thing for them. Look how successful they are. So it can be 300 words. It can be 100 words. It can be a 30-second video, but you need case studies that show your success. So all of those different elements and podcasts. So I think that every business should be looking at guesting on podcasts if you don't want to have your own, because having a podcast is a hard thing. But yes, get out there, tell people about what you're doing and the problems you're solving.
Yeah.
And when you meet them there, that just makes a difference. So content isn't about barriers anymore. And it's not about forcing people to go read a blog every week. Newsletters, email campaigns, those are absolutely vital. And that's another thing, is you cannot let all of your content live on another platform. Social media platforms can and do go away, and they yep. take your content with them. They shut down your groups. They do all of these things. But if you connect with the people through an email newsletter of some kind and your website, then you can still keep in touch with your audience.
And I love that so much, Teresa. This has been very valuable as I step into this more content strategy for my own business. This has been really powerful and helped me to rethink of all the things that I was not thinking about. So thank you so much, Teresa.
You're welcome. I'm passionate about it.
And it shows. It absolutely shows. All right, let's take a quick break for a few minutes. And when we get back, Teresa is going to share 3 hacks that you can implement in your business today. Looking for the ultimate live streaming and video production studio? Discover Ecamm Live, exclusively built for Mac. It's the leading solution for podcasting, webinars, live streaming, and more. Elevate your content creation game and bring your ideas to life with Ecamm Live. Head on over to hacksandhobbies.com/Ecamm and download your studio today. Start creating with Ecamm Live and elevate your audience engagement. Download now from hacksandhobbies.com/Ecamm or tap on the link in the show notes. Hey guys, welcome back. We've been talking with Teresa Edmond here on the podcast, and she's got 3 hacks for you that you can implement in your daily life, in your entrepreneurial journey. Teresa, take it away.
Okay. First, be consistent. The best way to do that is by keeping it simple. You do not have to post in 12 different places. So post one really good piece of content a week if that's all you can legitimately do. Keep it simple. The second is to tailor your content to your audience. We've talked about this a lot already. The audience is king. The content just helps support it. You can do that with newsletters especially. They are incredibly easy to tailor. You can tell the people exactly what you need them to know. And finally, create and post where your audience is. Mm. So don't post on what used to be Twitter if your people are living on Instagram. Don't focus on TikTok if everyone's on YouTube. And don't go just live your life on LinkedIn if all of your people are listening to podcasts. Go where they are, post the content that they need to hear, keep it simple. Those 3 things will drive your content game and really give you great success with it.
And I love those so much, podcasting and especially the consistency part, right? Yeah. The more you're consistent, the more they can expect you. Oh, it's Tuesday, 5 a.m. or Tuesday, 7 a.m. There's a new blog post coming out from Junaid or a new podcast episode dropping. We are a creature of habit. So if you are creating that consistent content, they will follow you, they will grow with you, and you will attract them of what you're teaching.
Yeah, absolutely. Right. Content is a relationship. Do you really like relationships with people who are inconsistent? Probably not. So always keep that consistency, and that will help you really move forward with the relationship, and it builds the trust that's inherent in what you need.
Nice. All right. Thank you so much, Teresa. Those hacks are monumental. We cannot wait to implement them in our entrepreneurial journey. I'm like blanking on stuff. All right, let's jump into the 6, the rapid fire questions that I love to ask.
Okay.
Exploring uncharted territories. Name a hobby that you've always wanted to dive into, but haven't yet. And why?
Hobby, if I was canning. I've always thought that canning food would be almost meditative. Mm-hmm. All of the chopping and the cooking and putting it in the jars and then eating it later. To me, that just sounds like fun.
That is a fun that's a fun one, absolutely, for sure. We've actually had a ton of tomatoes in our garden this year, and I started putting them in jars because apparently the bugs don't get to them, and then put them in the fridge.
So, right.
That's a fun one. Rewinding time. What childhood dream job did you aspire to, and how does it contrast with your current career?
I always wanted to be an author. I read like nobody's business as a child, and I always wanted to be an author. So I've done that in some areas, but I'd really like to try the fiction at some point and see how I do on my own with that. Yeah, I think it'd be fun.
That actually reminds me that, so I wrote a fiction novel with the help of my friend. So I'm going to send this over to you.
Okay.
And you can tell me, because I'm sure you're a really fast reader. I'm not a fast reader. Okay. So it's 13,000 words and we've got like a few chapters. It's a character my daughter came up with. So I'm like, okay, let's go deeper. And so now it's like a novel, a fiction novel for like teenage kids or whatever.
Oh,
so that sounds- you can tell me what you think of it and how we can make it even better. Because I want to eventually publish it. I have a question. My daughter is 5 years old. Mm-hmm. She cannot be the author for the book.
She could. She could be a co-author with you. Yeah.
Okay. Co-author. I think that's a good idea. So we'll put me and herself as a co-author on there. That's a good idea. Because we did publish a children's storybook for my son who was 10 years old at the time when we published it. And it's got simple words. I think it has a few pages. So that was a fun experience as well.
All right, and next if it's up. Her story, you can even do the with. So her name is the author and with you as a driving force in the creation of the thing.
All right. I like it. We'll talk further on this. From screen to life, can you share a movie or TV show that not only entertains you, but also offers a lesson that resonates with your life or career journey?
Ooh. You know, I think I'm going to say White Christmas. Simply because they had unexpected detours. They ended up doing things they weren't expecting to do. They still jumped in with both feet and they came out successful and happy in the end.
That's so cool. I like it. All right, next up, imagining yourself on the silver screen. If you could embody a character from any movie, who would it be, and how does this character's journey mirror or contrast with your own?
Ooh, now that one's a hard one.
I know. This it went way deep down there.
Let's go with Persuasion, the main character in that. She is very much a bookworm, very much the serious person in her family, and has suffered through life's disappointments and then finds happiness later in life. And I think because she pursued what she believed in.
Yeah.
And I think that's a great lesson to take away. I'd love to do that.
Man, I like that so much. Navigating through the world of superheroes, who's your favorite, and is there a particular trait they possess that you wish to embody or believe you already do in your professional life?
Gosh, I'd love to be snarky like Iron Man, but I don't pull that off really well. I do love his brains, though, and the fact that he's willing to just jump out there. I'm going to go with Iron Man. Just that ability to step out and take risks and create new things, even if they don't work, and then to really be there for the people that matter. I think that's valuable as well.
Just watching Iron Man 3 last night, I love these reruns. And in one of the scenes where Tony's hyperventilating because he's thinking about the New York event, and this kid is on the phone and he's like, you did it. You just mentioned it. And it's okay. Just breathe. Just breathe. And then he told him, well, aren't you the mechanic? Can't you like fix your heart? And he's like, Tony immediately calms down. He's like, yeah, I can just build something. And then he goes to the shop to collect all these things because he was hoping that Mark 42 was ready, but of course he didn't have the same power at this garage. So he was slowly charting. He's like, oh my God, how am I going to go there without my suit? You're the mechanic.
Figure it out.
And then that's where he thrives. That's where he really thrives. If he can't figure something out or he's depending on something, like, oh my God, how am I going to do this? So
he's a problem solver. And I'm very much a problem solver.
Yeah. I love that. I love that so much. All right. And last up, if your career or personal journey was a board game, which one would it be and why?
Ooh, Clue. Because I never know what's going to happen or who's going to enter my life.
Sure.
Clients or otherwise. And the results are always surprising in the end. Even if you think you know where it's going, sometimes it'll throw you for a loop. So definitely Clue.
Nice. I like that so much. Teresa, thank you so much for your time. This was a ton of fun. Definitely enjoyed a lot of this conversation because it falls right into where I grew up in, creating content on blog posts, creating content via images and videos and building sites and whatnot. So this is absolutely my jam as well.
Thank you very much, Junaid, for having me here. I've really enjoyed the conversation.
Yay. I love hearing that. All right. Last up, where can the superpreneurs find you?
I can be found at bossresponses.com. That is the podcast and all things content strategy. Or if you need a ghostwriter, or a content strategist, look me up at edmondwriting.com, edmondwriting.com.
I love it. Thank you so much, Teresa. We'll be sure to include those links in the podcast show notes, and we'll catch you in the next episode.
Thank you for listening to Hacks and Hobbies. You can find additional information on the guest today on their website, hacksandhobbies.com. Please feel free to subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss out on upcoming interviews with amazing guests.